just to go over where we are a little bit, the bottom of Tesamid Beis. We're starting on Yudam Aleph.
Bottom of Tesamid Beis said you have some term in terms of sukkah al gabi sukkah,
the one sukkah is on top of another. So the Gemara had all these different permutations where both could be kasher, both could be pasul. Or one out of the two can be kasher and the other one will be pasul. And then it goes through all of the different examples. So starting on the top of Yudam Aleph, this is Hechitami Kugensha Tachtoina. So what's the case that it's dealing with? It's dealing with what about Pa'amim Shah Tachtoina Kshera, where the bottom one will be kasher, Vel Yoin Absula, and the top one will be pasul. Hechitami. Why? How would you have that? Kugensha Tachtoina Tzilatim Rub Mechamasa, where the bottom one, it has proper schach, where it's more shape than sun. Vel Yoina, but the upper one, Chamasim Rub Tzilasa. The schach is not significant enough to be schach. It's more allowing more sunlight than shade. V'kamit, so the top one is no good. V'kamit arvayu b'soy chesrim, and both of them are within 20 of the floor, 20 amas of the ground. So you'll ask, why is that significant? If the top one is already pasul because it doesn't have proper schach, like who cares? So what is the answer? Anybody want to take a guess? If the schach is too high, what problem are you going to have? If the upper sukkah,
right.
If the schach is more than 20 amas from the ground of the bottom sukkah, so what problem are you creating? You've gotten out of the problem of sukkah al gabei sukkah because it's not a valid sukkah. It doesn't have enough schach on the top sukkah. But if that schach is too high to be valid for the bottom sukkah. Can anybody finish that sentence? I thought. It's going to be schach puzzle. It's going to be schach that's invalid for the bottom one. It's not just that, oh, well, no problem. You don't have a proper sukkah on the top sukkah. Great. So now the bottom sukkah is kosher. But if the schach of the top sukkah is too high, it's going to be schach puzzle for the bottom sukkah. And that may invalidate schach from the bottom sukkah. That's going to be a problem. So that's why the Gemara says, b'tarvayu b'zayresrim, that they're both within 20. You have to think about that. It may not be so entirely simple. Because is there or is there not a difference between schach pasul, meaning it's attached to the ground, let's say, or schach pasul, that it's makabel tuma, let's say, or schach that in and of itself is fine. It's just that it's too high. Is that the same thing? In other words, one is a psul that's inherent to the object. It's tummy. It's, the other example? It's attached to the ground. It's mechuber. So that schach is schach pasul. Here, the schach itself is fine. The object itself is fine. There's a separate issue, which is that it's too high. So it's puzzle, not inherently, it's puzzle because of the position that it's in. So there may be a difference, and that may have nafkamina as an halacha. But the Gemara seems to be saying, by saying that it has to be within 20, the top one has to be within 20 amas of the ground, the Gemara seems to be saying pretty clearly that it's still going to be considered schach puzzle, and therefore you have to make sure that it is within 20 of the 20 amas of the ground so that it doesn't invalidate the schach of the bottom sukkah. Sometimes the upper one will be kosher and the bottom one will be pasul. Hechidami, what's the case? Both of them are valid sukkahs. They have schach that's appropriate, they're more shade than sun. And the top one is within 20 amis of what? Of the ground? Does that really matter? So here it means it's within 20 amas of the bottom sukkah, right? That the top sukkah is kosher, because its schach is fine. You with me on this? The bottom sukkah is a kosher sukkah. The top sukkah is also a kosher sukkah. So now that will invalidate the bottom one. But the top one, in order to be kosher, has to be a kosher sukkah, which means its schach has to be less than 20 amas from its floor. But its floor is the schach of the bottom sukkah. So when it says, Pshita tachtoina ksheira ve'elyoina psula itzchichale. Isn't all of this obvious? All of this obvious? What do you mean? Every single case we just gave is pretty obvious. So Gemara says, "Tachtoina k'sher v'yon p'sulit tzrichale." The real case that we really need to spell out here, the one that's not simple, is where the bottom one is kasher and the top one is pasul. Okay, so what's the case? What's the case when the bottom one is kasher and the top one is pasul? What's the case? We said where the bottom. What's the case when the bottom one kasher, top one is pasul? Here's the bottom sukkah. The bottom sukkah we're saying is tzilasa miruba mechamasa. So that's proper stuff on the bottom sukkah. And then there's another sukkah. And this one is not. Not our sukkah. So the top one is no good, the bottom one is. What was the only detail that we just spelled out, that the Gemara spelled out? Provided that, what's the story with the top of sukkah?
It was less
straight. Right. Less than 20. Less than 20
hours. I still don't understand why it closes in 20.
Why is it necessary?
Because
if this sukkah is more than 20 hours, it's defined as schach pasul. And then, the way we were learning yesterday, it would invalidate whatever it's corresponding to, whatever schach it's corresponding to beneath it. It's going to invalidate it. Remember yesterday we were talking about maybe you could lower it, mix it together, we talked about the taroibes and batal barov. That's what we spoke about yesterday. I know we're going very fast, but get a chazer nice here, right? So, that's the Gemara saying, that's the case that you need to spell out. All the other ones are really pshita, are really pashut, but that's the case that you need to spell out. Why do you need to spell that out? Ma'od the same, that the memdalad here is not mando omar, right? Sometimes memdalad is mando omar. Here, ma'od the same, what is there to say? I would have thought, nigzor, we should make a gzeira. What gzeira should we make? Dilma mitstarev schach pasal bahari schach kasher kamash malan. That perhaps there would be joining together of schach pasul along with schach kasher. Kol mash milan, it comes to teach us that we don't make that zero. What? What just happened? This case that the Gemara gave is when the schach is less than 20 amos from the floor. That's what we said. So that way, the schach on the top is not schach pasul. If it is schach pasul, then you really do have a problem because you may invalidate your schach on the bottom. So the Gemara says, this case is a chiddush. Why is it a chiddush? Because we would have thought you should make a gzeira. Why should you make a gzeira? What's the problem? The problem is because sometimes if you make a sukkah like this, the upper schach will be higher than 20. So whenever you have a scenario where if a little detail changes, you're going to invalidate the sukkah d'oraisa, then we make a gzeira on it through a bone. What do I mean? Since if this schach were to be higher than 20, we would invalidate the lower sukkah d'oraisa because it would be schach pasul. We should make a gzeira even when it's not, even when it's less than 20, because of the cases where it could be a centimeter more, and it'll be more than 20. If there's a centimeter of difference between a pasul sukkah d'oraisa and a kasher sukkah, that's when the gzeiras mean the rabbanan. Are you with me on that? If it's so easy to invalidate the sukkah d'oraisa, then those are cases where we want to make gzeiros midirabbanan. So we should have made a gzeira even when it's less than 20, and it really the bottom sukkah really is kosher. There's no problem in this scenario. But we should have made a gzeira that you're not allowed to do that. Because if it's a centimeter less, it's a teeny bit less, so then a teeny bit more, then this whole sukkah is going to be invalid d'oraisa. So because it's so easy in this case to kill this bottom sukkah, we shouldn't make zero and not allowed to do this. You with me?
I was going to want to.
Where's Benji? So the answer to that is I have no idea. But the Gemara has always cases where you never know. And we'll see in a minute that you can have these cases where sukkah gabe sukkah. Almost like unwittingly, like you didn't even mean to. But then you got to figure out, do you really have enough of a space on top of your sukkah that's really problematic? In this particular case, I don't know why. What would be the case? I don't know. Let's imagine a scenario where a person has like a deck in their house. And underneath the deck is the space, but you're not going to use that for anything on sukkahs because you got a floor on top of you. But then what happens is over the years, the deck starts to fall apart. And then what you end up happening is you end up building your sukkah on, in the lower part with the deck on top of you. So you put your schach on, and the deck is so few pieces of anything left that you're like, it's irrelevant. But then you start taking out your measurements and you realize that it's actually, it could be theoretically, maybe even 20 amos high, or maybe in a normal case it won't be. But we can imagine such a case like that, where you have basically, someone I see about that. So you have a house, and then the basement basically is above ground in the back. So you have these, these poles that hold up the deck. And so what usually happens is people have these decks, and then they build their sukkah on top of that deck. And this is just, this is just the basement, There's a door to the basement over here, and that's how you build it. But eventually, this all falls apart, and no one, bothers to do anything about it, so there's, no floor there anymore. There's a few slats, a few whatever. So a person says, this is pretty open, I'll make my sukkah here. He makes his sukkah basically there. And then you gotta ask yourself, wait a minute, but is this really a sukkah? He's got a whole deck on top of a sukkah. Well, how much is there? How high is it? We'll deal with all those details. So, you could have cases that come up unwittingly because of a scenario like that. That would be like one possibility. So that's what the Gemara says. This case is really the only chiddush because we should have made a gzeira. What I'm adding to that is that I want you to feel comfortable with what the Gemara is saying, we should have made Xera. Because, you can always make Xera, right? I mean, that's what we would all say when we learn Gemara like this. Well, you can always make Xera, right? So why is the Gemara saying, with big chiddush, we're not making Xera? Sometimes you make Xera, sometimes you make it. So I want us to feel that a little bit. When did Chazal feel Xera should be made? And when did they feel Xera should not be made? So what I'm adding to this whole conversation is that point about the centimeter. Because since the Gemara is saying, as long as the tzchach on the tab is less than 20 amis, so you're fine. So let the Gemara leave it alone. The Gemara says, that's dangerous. What do you mean it's dangerous? Because a little teeny bit more, and you really have invalidated the bottom sukkah. And all it takes is a centimeter or a millimeter. Really? You hear what I'm saying, right? So because of that, you'd expect there should be a gzeira. It's just too risky. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I'm adding to all of this.
Just appreciate that nuance. Kami he ben sukkah le sukkah v'tei tachtona psula.
Okay, new issue. How much needs there be between a sukkah and another sukkah? V'tehei, and it'll be tachtona psula, the bottom one will be pasul. What's going on over here? So the Gemara has a new issue. Forget all of the schach for a minute. Let's imagine you have two layers of schach. How much of a space do you need between those two layers to have a problem? Because we know sukkah al-gabe sukkah invalidates the bottom sukkah. So what is a sukkah al-gabe sukkah? So I was telling some of the chevra that Dan's deals had a deal on schach. What do you mean? Why is Dan's deal having deals on schach? The schach stuff is expensive, It's like handmade, a lot of these things. The real super-duper glatt kosher stuff is all made with all natural materials. There's no woven strings even in it, cotton strings. There's nothing. It's all made out of, lulav leaves or whatever they make it out of, so that it's all natural stuff. We can discuss that when we get to this idea of mamid. Maybe we'll discuss a little bit now. But in any case, a Home Depot has fences. The fences are basically made out of some kind of reeds or something. And with metal, they're woven together. So it looks something like this. Reed, 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 reed. And the metal kind of crisscrosses them like that. And then crisscrosses them back in the other direction. So it keeps them all together. And you have this metal woven, whatever you call this, in a few different spots. And that's what keeps it all together, and it's designed to be a fence. So that you stick it in, there's probably another piece that it comes with or whatever, and you stick it into this top and the bottom, and it holds it up as a fence. And that's what Home Depot has. So of course, you know, some Jew at some point walked into Home Depot and said, wow, that looks like stuff, and it's really cheap. So that's a great idea. So there were a few. Oh, you're there.
Happy to you.
Torn 2 ligaments in my foot.
Two, that's it? You couldn't do it.
Could have been more.
Oh, yeah. So what are the issues behind this stuff? So we should get more into this later as we come onto these topics, but the most fundamental issue is that there's a lot of space in between these two reeds. That's the first thing you have to be really careful about. You have to make sure that what? That your stach is more generating more shade than sun. It's not so simple that it does. But okay, so maybe you'll get a couple of them. You'll get two or three of them. And the metal actually keeps it pretty stiff. See, it actually kind of, so what I ended up doing, because my father-in-law decided to get these, was I ended up putting three of them, one on top of the other. And because of the stiffness of, and that way, there was hopefully more sunlight, more shade in the sunlight. The stiffness of those metal, whatever you call them, actually could make it stick up like this. So that could mean actually that I have a sukkah on top of my sukkah if I'm not careful. So I'm piling layers of stuff on, and let's imagine that it's a pretty small sukkah, so one of these goes all the way across. And I put another one on top of it, and because of the stiffness, it goes up a tefach, let's say. Okay, good. I got two layers, now I have enough shade because, you know, they're hopefully balanced enough between the two of them, but I have enough shade between the two mats or whatever you want to call them, the two fences. Do I have a problem of sukkah al gabi sukkah? Did I just pasel my sukkah because of my extra layer of sach that I'm trying to use to fix my sukkah to solve the problem? Did I just create a problem for myself? By the way, we need to discuss the metal, because the metal is problematic, because metal is not allowed to be sach. Are you allowed to use metal to support your sach? This is the whole problem of what's called mamid, supporting your sach with things that you can't use for sach. So maybe we can discuss it another time. But that's a scenario where a person unwittingly may have just passed his sukkah because of this principle of sukkah, gabe sukkah. So the Gemara wants to know, wow, now that you mention it, how much space is problematic between layers of sukkah that should passel the sukkah? What does the Gemara say? How much will be between sukkah and a sukkah and it'll be that the bottom one is passel? Amar Rav Huna, tefach. One tefach. Shekein matzina ba'olai tuma. Tefach. Because we find, just like we find in tents of tuma, a tefach. What does that mean? Snan, as we learn in the Mishnah, tefach, al tefach, berum tefach. If you have a length and width of tefach by tefach, at the height of a tefach, mevi asa tuma, it brings tuma from one place to another, v'chaytetz bifnei ha-tuma. Chotzeis, what's chotzeis? What's a chatzitza?
Split.
Yeah, like a barrier or something that prevents. Like when a person goes to a mikveh, so if a person has a band-aid on, a person has something on their skin, it's a chatzitza. It divides, it separates between their skin and the water, and that could theoretically invalidate their tevila in the mikveh. Women have to be very careful about this. Av pachas mirum tefach, but if it's less than the height of a tefach, lo mevi, it doesn't bring tuma from one place to another, v'lo chotzeit, and it does not separate the tuma either. So that's what all the words mean. Let's understand the concept. Tefach by tefach, berum tefach, is talking about the object that we're using to become a tent. So I guess this is pretty close. This little miniature article sitter over here is approximately a tefach by tefach. More or less. So you've got a tefach here, you got a little bit more, almost maybe 1.5, maybe even 2. Tefachim on the other side. But we'll imagine that this is a square, and this is a tefach by tefach. And then we're going to take this. This is a kezias min a mace. It's a kezias of a dead body. And we're going to put it on the desk here, and we're going to take this thing, and we're going to put it on top of the kezias of the mace. So a Kohen wants to know, can he be like in this room? Like, what's the story, you know, with that tumma and him? So let's imagine we're outside. Toward outside. So the above us is just the sky and the clouds. So the tumma that's right here under this sitter just goes straight up to Shammai. So if a hot air balloon of an airplane, you know, crosses the path of that tumma, that theoretically would be a problem for the Kohen that's on it. So, okay. It goes all the way up to Shammai. But there's a concept called tumas. Oyha. Tumma of that is under a tent. And then the tumma does not go up. It's stopped by the tent. And it'll go, it'll spread. That's what it means, mayvi. It'll spread under the tent to wherever the tent goes. But when is it considered to be a tent then? So we'll raise it up, a tefach. Once that sitter is a tefach high, under this sitter is going to be tameh. Wherever under the sitter may be, even though the kezias may be amazed, let's take off the cap. So this cap, is it? Let's imagine it's a kezias. This is a little too small to be a real kezias. But we'll imagine this is a kezias. And it's only on one corner. Can you see? It's only like on one corner of the sitter. But the tumma is going to spread wherever that ohel goes. Wherever the sitter is. Going to be if a kohen was able to get under there, so then that would be, he would become tamei, even though he's not touching that kezias, but he's under the same tent. It's maybe it's a tumma. It brings the tumma anywhere under there. Yeah.
So why do you say it would be problematic if a kohen is flying and they're flying over?
So in this case, the tumma stops because of the ohel.
Okay, if there was no
ohel, then the tumma goes up to Shamayim.
But why would it be problematic if it's in an airplane? Wouldn't the tumma be underneath the airplane?
Well, if the airplane, so we'd have to discuss that. Maybe we'll save that for like a halacha l'maisa discussion. Like, is it possible the airplane itself should prevent the tumma from getting into the airplane?
Does that become atomic?
The sitter. I don't remember what the story is with the top of it. Underneath, for sure. I forgot the story is with the top. I don't remember.
Because, like, if that was the case, then the plane wouldn't become so much for sure not.
The problem is that it's moving and it's all kinds of things. Yeah, there's separate issues by all those kinds of things. But, yeah.
So
there are flights that El Al has that are deviated from regular flight paths to avoid cemeteries for Kohanim to fly.
Huh.
Yeah.
But it doesn't need to be covered completely. It just needs to be covered on top, the tumor?
Correct. It's an oil. It's a tent. So the sides don't have to have anything on them. It's only the top. So that is the concept of Tumas Oel. So the two major issues that our Gemara is pointing out is what's called Meivi and Chotzeitz. Meivi means it brings the Tuma wherever the Ohel covers. So, you know, it's wider, it'll go wherever it is. And Chotzeitz means that if it's a Tefach high, it'll stop, it'll break, it'll separate between above and below in terms of Tuma. The Tuma will stay below. This is an issue in a cemetery. Let's say you have, let's say that we were makbid to create coffins or something like that, that always had a tefach of space between the dead body and the top. So truth of the matter is that cemeteries wouldn't have any tumah because they would keep all the tumah underneath it because it would be an ohel. We would be burying every dead body in an ohel. And then the tumah would not rise above it. But since that's not the case, so cemeteries are tameh because there's not a tefach of space always between the mace and the top of the coffin. So that's what the Gemara says. What does that have to do with us? So the Gemara says, well, what are we building over here? A sukkah. A sukkah is a form of tent, right? I mean, that's a tent. So when is it considered to be a sukkah on top of another sukkah? When you got a tent on top of your sukkah. What's considered a tent? Tumasoya. By tuma, there's a concept of a tent. All you need is a tefach. That's all you need. So that's the Gemara's first suggestion. The Gemara says that once you have a tefach of space between your schach and the second layer of schach, so then that is going to be considered a sukkah al gabe sukkah. That's the Gemara first says. Then the Gemara says, "V'Rav Chista." So, by the way, this is a discussion not among Tanoim here. If you take a look at the names you have over here, we're talking about Amoraim. So, this is a fascinating Gemara. You know why? Because here you have a question, and we don't have a brisa, we don't have a mishnah, and we don't have something to go back to and say, oh, well, that's the definition. See, here's really an interesting gemara where you have Amoraim saying to themselves, wow, we have a concept of sukkah gabei sukkah, but we don't really have a clear definition for what's considered to be a sukkah on top of another sukkah. So they are forced to try to model it after other patterns that you have. Well, how do you define that? So the third one that we didn't see it is the most obvious, that you probably are all assuming in your head, it should have to be a sukkah. So you've got 7 tvachim of length, 7 tvachim of width, and 10 tvachim of height. If you don't have that, you don't have a sukkah. Where in the world is the Gemara coming from to suggest a tefach? Here? So you have a machlokas amoraim here, trying to figure out, well, but maybe sukkah, gabi sukkah, doesn't have to be a technical sukkah. It just means that there is a concept of a tent on top of your sukkah, and that also is going to be problematic. But wait a minute. Maybe that idea of a tent is limited to the area of Tumah V'Tahara. Who says that we should compare sukkah to halachas of Tumah V'Tahara? What's wrong with that? Why would I even imagine? What do you mean? Halachas, 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 right? So that's not true. Not true at all. Sometimes something could apply in Halachas Shabbos and have nothing to do with any other halacha, and sometimes something will apply in Kol HaDeruchim, it'll all be the same. The Vilna Gaon apparently said that when you go to Sanhedrin, it says you're supposed to go to Sanhedrin. You guys know this pasuk? One of my Chumash guys. Ki yipalei mimcha davar. And something will be beyond you, a pele to you, a wonder to you. Bein dam ledam, bein din ledin, bein nega lenega, divrei rivos bisharecha. It lists 4 categories. If one of these 4 categories will be beyond you, you don't know the answer, so you got to go ask the Sanhedrin. So what question are you going to ask me? Rabbi, why does the Torah give me 4 categories? Why doesn't it just say, when you don't know something, ask the Sanhedrin? It's a Vilna Gaon because there are 4 categories in halacha that don't necessarily what? Overlap. So just because something's true in Tumah V'Tahara does not mean it's true somewhere else. I'll give you just one quick example. What's the din of a Safek? Safek Daraisa, and Safek Darabanan, and Safek Tumah Berishus HaYachid. Safek Tumah Berishus HaRabim. Suddenly, when it comes to Tumah V'Tahara, there's no such thing called Safek Daraisa, Safek Darabanan anymore. Now, it depends if it's a Rosh HaRabim, if it's a Rosh HaYachid. There's totally different rules. Totally different rules. Why? Safek Daraisa, Darabanan, what's going on here? Nope. Tumah V'Tahara has its own rules, its own category. So that's what's interesting. So should we compare Sukkah to Tumah V'Tahara? Wait a minute. Are there any rules of Tumah V'Tahara that apply to Schach? I mentioned one a few minutes back when we were talking about schach puzzles. You remember? What kind of schach is going to be puzzle for schach? It's wood, but it's a bedpost. It's a kli. It was made into something. So that's makabel tumah. You're not allowed to use schach that's makabel tumah. So if you want to head, remember we're talking about using vines, grapevines and stuff. We were talking about, you know, gourd vines, whatever they were, right? So if you want to go ahead and put them on your sukkah, that's great, but not with the fruit attached. Why not? Fruits makabel tumah. So wait a minute. So does it make sense then to suggest that sukkah gabi sukkah may be related to issues of Tumah V'Tahara? Oh, maybe there is a Pesach for that. Maybe there is an opening for that, because after all, schach does have some rules of Tumah V'Tahara. So that's interesting. Okay, so be that as it may, so the Gemara's first approach was dealing with sukkah, gabi sukkah, based on the tefach of tumas oil. Ruchista, Rabbi Baravuna Amri, arba'a. 4 tvachim. Sukkah, gabi sukkah must be 4 tvachim on the second layer of schach. Why is that? Shalei matzinu makom chashuv pachos me'arba'a. Because you never find a significant makom, a place that's of significance, less than 4. What do you mean? Yes, you do. Tumah V'Tahara. That's Tumah V'Tahara, that idea of the tefach. That's Tumah V'Tahara, something else. We're not talking about Tumah V'Tahara. You know what a sukkah is? A sukkah has to have walls, you know? A sukkah is a reshus. A sukkah is like a location that's distinct from another location. It's a separate rishus. It's a domain. You don't find a significant domain less than four tefachim. In Hilchos Shabbos, when the issue is rishus ha-yachid, rishus ha-rabim, domain, then you have a concept of four tefachim and bare minimum. It's length and width. It's not height. Well, there's one case, Tosis points out, you do have a case of height that's four tefachim, like a pesach, like a doorway, an opening. So then four tefachim does have significance, even in height. Okay, but you do find at least a measurement of four tefachim having significance in terms of what? Domain. So wow, this is interesting, right? So now when we're trying to figure out what's like the essential point of sukkah, we should have sukkah, gabei sukkah, is it rooted in Tumah V'Tahara? You have rules of Tumah V'Tahara Mishchach? No, sukkah is rooted in its idea of domain. Domain, okay, so then you have to have four tefachim, and four tefachim, that's the smallest domain, makom chashuv, that you find. Ushmuel Amar, Shmuel says what we would have said from the beginning. Asara, 10 tefachim. My time at the Shmuel. Why, what's Shmuel's rationale? Kech sheira kach psula. Just like what allows a sukkah to be kosher, so too is what's going to create a psul, an invalidation for a sukkah. Mach sheira basara, just like to make a sukkah kosher, you need 10 tefachim of height. Af psula basara, so too, to make it pasul, you need 10 tefachim of height of the sukkah on top of it. That's a valid sukkah, 7 by 7 by 10 tefachim high. So that's, you know, that's what we all would have said. So those are the three approaches in Amurim. Tonight we learned the Mishnah, and our Mishnah that we just learned on the previous Amud. Rabbi Yehuda says, you can't just make a rule of sukkah gabi sukkah. Rabbi Yehuda said it depends on people living there. If there's nobody living there, so then it's fine. If there are people living there, then you have a problem. Asks the Gemara, my ein diyorin. What do you mean by if there's no one living there, then it's fine? Ilei mediyorin mamish. If you'll say it means people living there mamish, actual people living in the upper sukkah, that's the only time it's a problem. Asks the Gemara, atu diyorin kagarmi? Is it because of people living there that causes the problem? It's because of people physically living there that causes the problem, right? Garmi is like mitzvah aseh shazman grama. Garmi means to cause. Gram. Is it caused by people actually living there? No way! Come on, everyone. That's not true. Elalav, is it not? Rather, it's not, isn't it? My endearing, I mean, what does it mean? There's nobody living there. It doesn't mean physically people living there. It means kol she'ena ruuya ledira. It means if it's not ro'ui for a person to live there. It's such a flimsy schach. It's Home Depot's fences, you know. If you have Home Depot's fences they're using for your schach, so then that's not a problem to have sukkah, agave sukkah, because nobody could possibly be in the upper sukkah. The heichidami. And what is the case that? The loy gavoya asara. So then, if you're dealing, according to Yehuda, what does it mean nobody could live there? So forget flimsy. Forget flimsy. Scratch that. Back up. It means that people have to live there in what sense? That they can get themselves in it, you know? It means it's 10 tefachim, right? So you have a sukkah on top of another sukkah. So Rabbi Yehuda, the only time that's a problem is if people are living in the upper one. The Gemara says people actually living there? But come on. No. It doesn't have to be people actually. It means people could live there. Okay, now what does that mean, could live there? So I said flimsy. Scratch that. Get rid of it. And the Gemara says, no. We're not talking flimsy. We're talking about the height. A tefach, most people can't live in. Four tefachim? Not going to work. 10 tefachim? All right. That you could do. You know, you could lean. You could lean in 10 tefachim. So the Gemara says, okay, so that's asara. What's that similar to? Meaning, what's the case of Rabbi Yehuda that the only sukkah that's a problem is a sukkah on top of another sukkah that's ra'ui ladira that a person could live in? What does he mean, could live in? What do you mean? The legavaya sarah. That if a person can't live in it, it's because it's less than 10. A person can live in it, then it's 10 tefachim or more. Okay. Michlal de tanakama sarah, afal pisha ena ra'uya ladira psula. So that means that That implies, right, Mechla means that implies, that according to the Tanakhama, that disagrees with the Rebuta, Savar, he holds af al pi, even though she'ena ruvuya ledira, it's not roya ledira, it's puzzle. Really? So according to that approach, that would mean that the machlokes basically is, if it's less than 10 tefachim, or not. Shmuel would not have agreed with that, right? Because Shmuel is the one that held that a sukkah that's less than 10 tefachim is not a sukkah al-gabe sukkah. And now Rabbi Huda is coming along and saying, if the sukkah is 10 tefachim high, then it's a problem. If it's not less than 10, if it's less than 10 tefachim, then it's fine. So you have to figure that out with everything we just said, according to the Gemara that we just finished. When we asked, what's a sukkah al-gabe sukkah? So okay, it could be that was all within the Tanakhama. And Rabbi Huda holds, no, it has to be ro'i ledira. But what does that mean, ro'i ledira? So now the Gemara is saying, it just means 10 tefachim. Well, that's what Shmuel said. So, what's going on over here? So the Gemara's first approach is, according to Rabbi Huda, apparently it depends on 10 tefachim. So according to Tanakhama, it would come out that even less than 10 tefachim would be a problem. So Shmuel, for sure, would not agree with that. Perhaps the other two opinions would. Ki asa Rav Dimi, ki asa, that phrase ki asa, means he came from Eretz Yisrael. Because the Talmud Bavli was written in? Very good. So ki asa means when he came. Came from where? Well, Jews weren't living in so many places back then. They weren't living in America. So they were coming, he means they came from Eretz Yisrael. Ki asa Rav Dimi, Rav Dimi is often quotes Rabbi Yochanan. Right? Rabbi Yochanan is Lakish. So they were in Eretz Yisrael. So often, Rav Dimi would come with reports of what he learned from Rabbi Yochanan. But in any case, Kiyasa Rav Dimi, Amri said, Amri b'marava, they say in the marava. What's the marava? What? Comes from the word marav. Out west. Where's Bavel? What's Bavel today? Right, so Eretz Yisrael is what direction of Bavel? West. So Amri b'Ma'arava, they say in the west, meaning Eretz Yisrael. Amri b'Ma'arava, they say in Eretz Yisrael, Im eina tachtoina yochayla lekabel karim uksasais shel elyoina. If the lower one, im eina tachtoina, if the lower one ein cannot yochayla able lekabel to receive to hold karim. Pillows, uksasos, and blankets, shel elyoina, of the upper one, hatachtoina ksheira, then the bottom one is kasher. What's he saying? So this goes back to the flimsiness idea, that the schach of the bottom sukkah has to be strong enough to hold not just the people, but or maybe not the people. I guess we have to ask that on the Gemara. This is including people or not including people. But what the Gemara says is, that the schach of the bottom sukkah, if it can hold pillows and blankets, then you got a problem. Because people could live there, because people need pillows and blankets to sleep. And if it cannot hold pillows and blankets, then that's not considered to be a sukkah al-gabe sukkah. Apparently having nothing to do with the space, the dimensions in between the two. Until now, all we've been discussing is the dimensions of the upper sukkah. How high is it? How high is the second layer of schach? According to this approach in Eretz Yisrael, they learned that Rabbi Yehuda was not talking about the height. He was talking about the flimsiness of the floor. If it's impossible for people to live in the upper one, then Rabbi Yehuda doesn't seem to care how high it is. It doesn't make a difference. The point is, nobody would be able to live there. Since no one's able to live there because it's too flimsy, the floor is too flimsy, so that's not called a sukkah al-gabe sukkah. But if it could hold pillows and blankets, so then, it is considered to be a sukkah al gabi sukkah. Mechlad Tanakama Savar Afal Bishayna Ru'i Lekabel Psula. So that would imply that according to the Tanakama, even if you have such a flimsy Home Depot schach that you can't even put pillows and blankets on it, so apparently that's going to be a problem anyway. Wow. Ika Beinayu. So what's the difference between the two approaches? What's the difference between approach, our first approach, the Babylonian approach, if you will, that it means that the sukkah has to be, you know, 10 tefachim, and it's, you know, it's roi, but what's not roi? Wow, I mean, you can have a sukkah where no one would ever be able to stand on the floor of the sukkah. And it's going to be a problem of sukkah al-gabi. Sukkah? The Gemara says, Ika beinayu, the real difference between the two approaches is the yachol al-kaba l'idei adechak. When it's not so flimsy, but it's pretty flimsy. You know, you could stand on it by walking carefully, and it's not going to break. Or you could at least put pillows and blankets on it carefully, and it's not going to break. If al-yadei adechak, no one would really do it. No one would do it. But push comes to shove. You have no place else to sleep other than this upper sukkah. As long as the floor is, whatever, you could pull it off. So then, that's when it's a problem. But otherwise not. That's the nafgamina. Let's just see the Rashi on that to spell this out. Ika beinayu. Rashi writes, Dirabbanan savri, kevan diachola lakabo bedoichak, sham sukkah alolyana. Since at least when push comes to shove, you could put pillows and blankets there. That'll passel it. Rabbi Huda Savar came with the lake of Tashmisha Lehedia. Rabbi Huda would be saying, according to this, that no. You have to be able to actually, if a person would normally be able to be there, that's a problem. But just on the dead, chak, no. So, according to the Eretz Yisrael approach, what comes out according to the end of this Gemara, according to the Eretz Yisrael approach, that Rabbi Yehuda holds, the only time you have a problem of a sukkah al-gabei sukkah is when a person would, in his right mind, would sleep in the upper sukkah. You could put pillows and blankets there and he could take, he could go to sleep. But the Tanakhama holds that it's not pshat. Right? What the Tanakhama does not hold is that if it's impossible for a person to occupy that sukkah, it's still a problem. No, that's ridiculous. It has to be theoretically that a person could be in it. So the Tanakhama holds, yeah, but as long as worse comes to worse, it's you could put pillows and blankets there, and maybe a person could be able to sleep there. As long as it's possible, then that is a problem. And Rehuda disagrees with that. He says, no. It has to be that a person really, really could. Not just like, maybe yes, but I'm not sure I'm going to fall through in the middle of the night. No. He has to be able to actually sleep there. That's how they learned in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, that takes us to the next Mishnah. Let's just start the next Mishnah. A person went ahead and he spread a cloth, a blanket, a sheet, either because of the sunlight, the schach is allowing in too much sunlight, he's too hot, so he wants more shade. So he spreads a sheet because of shade. A tachteh, that would be above the schach. A tachteh, or underneath the schach, mipnei anishar, because of kamikazes. Some people like to use like those evergreen types of branches for their schach, and you get what's called a nishar, fallers. As the little things start to fall off of the schach, they shoot down into your soup, sometimes into your head. So that's called things that are falling off the schach. That's the nishar. So a guy decides there's too much falling off of my schach. I'm going to put up a blanket to catch all of those things that are falling off of the schach so they don't fall in my food. Shepiris agabe yakinoi. He has a bed. Fancy bed. So his fancy bed has a canopy. Or he spread this on the canopy, agabe yakinoi, on top of his bed. Psula! So that's puzzle. At least his yeshiva sukkah is puzzle. He's not yote. Avopereis hu el gabe nakliti amita. There is a type of bed called nakliti amita that he would be allowed to put a canopy on because it doesn't really have a roof. Like those army tents where it goes up to like a point, it's like a triangle. So that doesn't really have a roof. So that he would be allowed to do, and that would not be a problem. So that's what we're going to get into. Mir Seshem tomorrow. We'll start with that tomorrow. And what's going on over here with all of these sheets? What are you allowed to do to prevent the sunlight or maybe things from falling off? You are, at the end of the day, creating a separation between you and the schach. So when is that problematic? When is that not problematic? So we're going to do a shtickle house.